and welcome to Armchair Detectives Wanted. This is episode 9, The Coroner's Letter, our guilty or not week. This is a real life Crown Court case. The names and the dates have been altered, but the circumstances are true. You are now a jury member. You decide if they are guilty or not. Will you convict an innocent person or let the guilty walk free? Thank you for taking the time to listen. All rise for Judge Goldsmith. Could the defendant please stand and confirm your name and age?
Mrs. Peterson, age 40.
You are charged with the murder of your husband, Mr. Peterson. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Please be seated. Members of the jury, please take your seats and listen carefully to the evidence that is put before you. This is the case for the prosecution. I am Mr. Peterson Jr. I am 14 years of age. The accused is my mother and the deceased is my father. We all live together at the same address. On the evening before the incident, I would say about 5 or 6 p.m., I observed my mother writing a letter. Shortly after she had written the letter, I saw her in possession of a revolver. I witnessed her place ammunition into the chambers. The letter that she wrote was addressed to the coroner. I can say that Exhibit 5 is the letter in my mother's writing. At approximately 7 a.m. the following morning, I was woken by the sound of a gunshot. I immediately jumped out of bed. My mother entered my room and asked me to contact the police. On leaving my room, I could see that my father was laid on his back on top of his bed. He was completely still. To give some context to our family life over the years, I have witnessed my father mistreat my mother. I have seen her with black eyes. I recall that he left her for about 3 years, but returned when he was penniless and out of work. I was surprised my mother agreed to take him back after such a long time. Initially, when they got back together, he treated her well. However, as soon as he was employed again, he began to abuse her. The trouble seemed to originate over a woman called Mrs. Clay. I was also present when two of my uncles, that's my dad's brothers, threatened to smash my mother's face. I never heard my father ask my mother for money. I did hear him refuse to give her money though, saying it was for the other woman. My father also had problems with alcohol. I will say that my mother has slept in my room on occasions to stay away from him. When sleeping in my room, she would place the bed up to the door to stop him entering. When I asked my mother, she said the reason she had the revolver was to protect herself. My mother is a good woman. I have never heard her threaten to shoot my father. Some of my relatives are angry with me today because I have given evidence in support of my mother. I love her and she has always been a good mother. I am Mr. Thornton. I have a flat on the same floor as Mr. and Mrs. Peterson. A couple of days prior to this incident, I heard them both arguing. Mrs. Peterson ran downstairs, shortly followed by her husband. As I went downstairs and put the light on, I could see he had her pinned against the wall. Mr. Peterson said there is a revolver under the table, which his wife had threatened him with. I located it and noticed it was fully loaded. At this point, Mr. Peterson let her go, and they both returned upstairs. I retained possession of the revolver. The following morning, Mrs. Peterson asked for the gun. I gave it back to her. I did attend a pawnbroker with Mrs. Peterson, where she pawned the revolver. This was prior to the incident. She received a receipt from the pawnbroker. I kept possession of that receipt until I handed it to the police. On the night before the incident, I spoke with Mrs. Peterson briefly. She said, "I am going to wipe the slate clean." I could hear them arguing that night. At about 7 a.m. the following morning, I heard a gunshot. I quickly made my way onto the landing. I could see her husband dead on the floor. At this point, Mrs. Peterson raised the gun to her head, saying she was going to kill herself. I managed to persuade her to put the gun down, which she did. I then said I would contact the police. It seemed as though the couple were always arguing. From living on the same floor as the Petersons and knowing them, it seemed on occasions there were times when she seemed to be in fear of her husband. I have also told Mr. Peterson previously not to assault his wife. I recollect about a week before this, she was always saying, "I'll wipe the slate clean." As I made my way on the landing after the sound of the gunshot, I could see the deceased with his head in the room and his body on the landing.
I am Mrs. Clay. I knew the deceased for about 4 years. I know Mrs. Peterson as well. I saw her about 2 weeks ago. She told me I would not get any more money from her husband. She said she had something in her pocket that would stop us both. However, she didn't tell me what was actually in her pocket. At the time I was seeing Mr. Peterson, I knew he wasn't married. I lived with him for about 2 years. When I moved address, he returned to his wife. Even though he had returned to his wife, he still stopped at my home on several occasions. He continued to give me money, even though he was now living with her.
I am Mr. Liner. I can confirm that I sold the revolver to Mrs. Peterson on the production of her license. I am Mr. White. I am able to say that Mrs. Peterson brought the revolver to our pawnbrokers on no fewer than 7 occasions.
I am Police Inspector Williams. I was on duty at the station when at 7:20 a.m. Mrs. Peterson rushed in and threw a revolver on the counter. All 6 chambers were loaded. 5 had live ammunition and 1 had a spent cartridge. She was agitated, saying, "I've shot my husband." Mrs. Peterson handed me a further 15 cartridges. She was then arrested. I made my way to the address and I could see the deceased. He was lying on his back on the floor. His head was halfway in the room and his body on the landing. I was present when Dr. Hurst arrived, who confirmed Mr. Peterson was deceased.
I am Detective Inspector Price. I charged the accused and she said, "Is he dead? Good God, may I die soon." She continued, "I love my husband. She has been the ruin of my life. If I cannot see him, no one can. I have sworn I will do her in, and I'm only sorry I haven't done her in as well. She has brought me to this, but she cannot have him either." She told me the woman she was referring to was Mrs. Clay.
I am Mrs. Peterson, the wife of the deceased. We were constantly arguing through the first 6 years of our marriage. When he stopped working, he expected me to get more jobs. He would constantly beat me, and I did report him to the police a few times. We were separated for a short while, and he returned to his mother's. He then came home for a period of time before leaving me to live with Mrs. Clay. I objected to them living together. I asked her to leave my husband, but she refused. Eventually, my husband returned, but he was out of work. Initially, he treated me well, but as soon as he became employed, he began to treat me badly. Both my husband and his brothers threatened to kill me. That is why I bought the revolver. I was in fear for my life. I kept the gun under the mattress. Whenever I went out, I carried it with me. A few days before this happened, there was an argument between myself and my husband. He pulled the bedclothes back and struck me on the nose. He had a huge pair of pliers in his hands. I thought that he was going to hit me with them. I jumped out of the bed and rushed downstairs. He pursued me. He caught me and pinned me to the floor. As he did, the revolver fell under the table. It must have been in his possession, as he knew where I kept it. He grabbed the gun. At this point, one of the other residents came in, Mr. Thornton. I don't recollect saying to Mr. Thornton, "I'll wipe the slate clean." On the night of the incident, I slept in my son's room. I placed the bed against the door. I was in fear as my husband threatened he would shoot me a few days previously. At about 3 a.m., I checked to see if my husband had returned home. Indeed he had. At about 6 a.m. I called him for work. He woke up in a very bad mood. He told me I would never get any money from him. It was for the other woman. He came across to hit me. I ran to another room. I had the revolver with me. I thought he was going to punch me. The revolver went off as I put my hand up to defend myself. I didn't aim at him and I didn't mean to kill him. I have never fired a revolver before. The person who sold the gun to me did explain how it worked. Regarding the statement made by Mrs. Clay, I do recall seeing her a couple of weeks ago. I do not recollect telling her that I had something in my pocket that would stop my husband giving her money. I did not have the revolver with me at the time I met Mrs. Clay. I cannot remember what I put in the letter to the coroner. I am aware the letter states, in case anything happens to my husband and me, although I did not anticipate anything happening to us. I also wrote, my husband pays her money, I swear he shall not pay any more. That did not mean something was going to happen to my husband. I meant I was going to get him the sack from work. The coroner was supposed to receive the letter explaining how I would die. The fact I wrote, I am prepared for trouble as my husband has threatened to do me in tonight, so I am going to be first. He did not mean first with the revolver. I heard the account given by Inspector Price. I do not recall the conversation with him at all. Members of the jury, you will now hear the case for the prosecution and defence. Please listen carefully.
Members of the jury, I will be putting the case for the prosecution before you. You are all intelligent people and are able to decipher between the truth and lies. I will say that Mrs. Peterson has come to this court and told lies. She is guilty of murder. You can see how she prepared meticulously when committing this horrendous crime. She began the planning when she purchased the firearm. She filled it with live ammunition. She was an angry woman. Her husband had been stolen from her. She tells you how she wanted to confront them both. We have heard how she said, I am going to wipe the slate clean. Mrs. Clay states Mrs. Peterson said, I have something in my pocket that will stop him giving you money. Mrs. Peterson admits to the police that she shot her husband. She continues to say that she was sorry she hadn't done Mrs. Clay in as well. She says that her husband beat her. However, she continued to try and get him back. She wanted her husband to live with her. Would a person who is in so much fear of their husband go to these lengths to have them back? Members of the jury, we now come to the letter Mrs. Peterson wrote to the coroner. This letter was written the night before her husband was shot. The very night before. The plan to kill her husband was now in motion. She wrote, in case anything happens to my husband and me, clearly, she knew that something was going to happen, either to one or both of them. She continued, my husband pays her money. I swear he shall not pay her any more. It is obvious to you all that this is a pre-planned murder. She purchases the firearm and loads it immediately. She threatens Mrs. Clay. Mrs. Peterson then shoots her husband at point-blank range, killing him instantly. A letter to the coroner in the handwriting of Mrs. Peterson explain what was to happen. Members of the jury, this is murder. You should be in no doubt this was a pre-planned killing.
Members of the jury, I will be putting this case for the defence before you. It is important that you, the jury, consider all the facts. It is clear from Mrs. Peterson and a number of other witnesses that her husband treated her badly. We have heard how she had black eyes caused by her husband. Witnesses have stated how he pushed her to the ground and held her against the wall by her throat. More importantly, we have heard that her husband and his brothers threatened to kill her. Throughout this, and knowing her husband was with another woman, she still wanted him back. She was in love with her husband. Mrs. Peterson was in extreme fear of her husband. That is the reason she purchased the firearm. The revolver was purchased for protection. On that morning, Mr. Peterson intended to assault his wife. In her panic and fear, the revolver was fired accidentally. My client did not intend to kill her husband. She was panicked, believing her husband was going to kill her. She explains that the letter to the coroner is about her own death and not that of her husband's. Members of the jury, you can see she was absolutely terrified in those moments. She accidentally discharged the firearm. The discharge, unfortunately, led to the death of her husband. Members of the jury, you can see this was an accident. You should find Mrs. Peterson not guilty.
Members of the jury, it is now time for you to retire from the courtroom and consider your verdict. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the evidence in this case. I must remind you that to find the defendant guilty, you must be satisfied beyond any reasonable doubt of their guilt. On your return to the courtroom, you will deliver your decision. The verdicts available to you are guilty of murder, guilty of manslaughter, or not guilty. If you find the defendant guilty, please state the sentence you would give. Please visit our Facebook page, Armchair Detectives Wanted, where you will be able to discuss your theories and views with other members.
Week 9 of our scenario. On the night of the murder, the husband said he had gone out for a drive. It is confirmed the children were staying with friends. The husband asked to provide an account. How would you treat the husband? A. Arrest him. B. Treat him as a witness. C. Recover his car. D. Recover his clothing. Or E. Ask him to attend the police station in a few days as he is grieving. Thank you for listening to Armchair Detectives Wanted. You are one of the team. Remember, don't just listen, be involved. We would really appreciate you recommending our podcast to others. We look forward to you joining us next week for episode 10, Killed in the Library.